Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
The Problems with Sex. Maureen McGrath is a sexual health practitioner, and she says sex is one of the most contentious issues in relationships. She says many couples go months, if not years, without it. For some, this works because it's what both partners want. But the problem arises when one partner wants sex and the other one doesn't. The reasons are many, and they range from sex is taboo to the disruptive nature of technology, body image challenges, porn, boredom, and that's just the start of it.
Maureen McGrath, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Stuart.
You specialize in, well, sex and in couples. And you gave a very interesting talk recently that seemed to suggest the levels of intimacy in couples in North America is dropping. How do we know this?
Well, I believe you're referring to my TEDx Stanley Park talk, which I gave last May, and which has had over 2.4 million views in just about 9 months.
So nobody's interested then?
No, I don't think so. I think that speaks to the interest, and that this is not only an issue, but it's a concern for a lot of people.
So first of all, why is it an issue? And then let's get to why is it a concern? Finally, what can we do about it? Yeah.
There are so many reasons that sex is an issue in a relationship or in a marriage. It has to do with medical conditions. That's why I talk a lot about sexual health, and that's actually my expertise. So it can be related to sexual abuse or trauma, unwanted sexual advances, rape, medical conditions such as erectile dysfunction in men, where they have the inability to attain and maintain an erection adequate for penetrative sex, vaginal dryness, genitourinary syndrome of menopause, other common conditions that women face that will impact a relationship, also unresolved conflict, financial issues, issues that are exploration in the bedroom, issues that people are too uncomfortable to talk about, excessive alcohol consumption, substance use and abuse, infidelity, aging, boredom is a big one. We're living longer these days and people are with the same person. Are we cut out from monogamy?
Oh my God.
That's just a
few. I'm almost sorry I asked. The list is like, now a page and a half long.
It is. That's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning. So as you're saying that, I'm thinking, okay, is this age related? Like if you're a couple in your 20s, like many of these things that you just talked about aren't relevant. So are we saying when we take a look at intimacy in couples overall, are we like averaging it out over many decades? Because I imagine you get into your 50s, 60s, 70s, and so on, and of course you expect to see sexual activity decline.
Not necessarily. Often,
huh? You're telling me that I'm misguided?
Perhaps. Erectile dysfunction can happen to men in their 20s.
Intimacy, no, get out. It cannot.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Porn is a contributing factor. Excessive porn use and abuse is a contributing factor to that.
To erectile dysfunction.
Absolutely, because it's a whole lot easier to have an erection and experience an orgasm when you're watching porn, when you're viewing porn, and then when you get with your partner, you may have an issue with intimacy. So technology plays a role in that. There is recreational use of the PDE5 inhibitors like the Viagra, Levitra, Cialis, and that will cut out your sex drive as well. Initially, people are taking it because they want better erections, even though their erections are absolutely fine when they're 24. So that can also cause a problem also as well. The other thing is, you'd be surprised, but younger couples, because of the intimacy issues, they can also experience sexual abuse as a child, and they don't talk about it like older people don't talk about it, but they actually have more problems in the bedroom, or they may have more problems in the bedroom than older people.
Is that because they don't know how to communicate yet? They haven't developed a more complex set of communication skills?
In part, that may be the case. They may not understand vulnerability. They may not be comfortable with their body. Body image is another contributing factor to low sexual desire or issues in the bedroom. They may actually be a little bit nervous because nobody ever talked about sex with them.
You're talking about low body issue as in my own issue about myself, not my partner. Is that what you're saying?
You're actually, it's actually both ways. Because you can be with somebody for 10 years and you may have married the most fit person who's healthy and exercising and has a great mental health status, and then they may stop exercising, eating poorly, they may have issues at work, they may gain weight, get that paunch, and you think, I'm not really that attracted to you anymore. You're not what I started out with. Or your own body image, if people have, and a lot of people have difficulty losing weight. That's not an easy thing to do, or staying in shape, exercising every day, but it's what you put in your mouth that really matters. And people think, oh, they'll go to the gym over and over repeatedly, and why aren't I losing the weight? Because they're still consuming excessive calories. So if they feel poorly about their own body, I've had patients who have a tiny little bit of, they perceive they have a small amount of fat on their thigh, and they insist on making love in the dark, and they say, I don't want him to look at my thighs. And really, he doesn't care. It's fine.
So how did we get this way? Like, what brought all this about? Because as we started off by saying, levels of intimacy are actually dropping, despite the fact that we live in a world that gives us access to a tremendous amount of information that will hopefully make us more balanced human beings, what you're saying is, yeah, we're getting more uptight and there's a whole bunch of other things at work. What happened?
Well, sex is still a very much a taboo subject, and people are not comfortable talking about it. They'll sneak about it, and it actually provides a lot of pleasure. There's release of dopamine and other neurotransmitters that makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. But if you have been raised with any degree of guilt or embarrassment or shame around sex, and many people have been, or also the lack of appropriate education, we focus on pregnancy and sexually transmitted infections, and that's a good thing, but there's so much more to it that we really need to focus on, especially in terms of pleasure for women, for example. Women are slut-shamed these days. Women are taught that if you enjoy sex, that means there's something wrong with you or you're bad.
Still,
absolutely.
I thought that
of
was
course.
An outdated concept.
No, not at all. I have a patient in my clinical practice who's 72 years old, and she said every time that she is with a man and she is about to experience orgasm, her mother's voice comes into her head and says, sex is dirty, sex is bad. She has never experienced an orgasm. Only about a third of women do, because we don't provide the proper education about how to experience orgasm for women.
Because her mother's in the bed with her, even though it's inside her head.
That's right, yes. And these voices, this education, this inaccurate education, this shame, this guilt, follows women throughout their lives, and men as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I became fascinated with advances in neuroscience a number of years ago, and you were talking about how sex can be good for you. For your brain alone, it's an incredible opportunity to help preserve your brain, because for one thing, you're engaging all of your senses, and you're social, and you're connecting with another human being, and there's all those wonderful chemicals that get released. I would think that with our understanding now of how important it is as a part of being a human being, especially one that's hopefully going to have a long life span, that we would start to knock down some of these taboo barriers.
Now you're overwhelming me. You're absolutely correct. In addition, sex increases blood flow to the brain and to the genitalia as well. And so sex is great. I would say it's the second best medicine to exercise. Exercise will help with your mood, will help with your sleep, much like sex will. Mm-hmm. So it's very important. And you don't have to have a partner in order to have sex.
Well, I actually read an interesting thing that said a good cure for a headache is actually having sex.
It certainly is.
A headache isn't a reason not to have sex, it's a reason to have sex.
That's right, because the release of the neurotransmitters and the chemicals in your brain are actually pain management chemicals. So it's beneficial. So that old excuse, which a lot of people believe, is a myth. And so we have to get away from those myths, and we have to start educating girls and women about what's appropriate and what's not appropriate and what's okay, and that it's your right to have a great sex life.
So are the issues different depending on where you're at in life? Like if you're 30 and 40 versus 50 and 60, you're a man, you're a woman. Like what are some of the issues that are getting in the way?
There are so many issues, and financial issues are one of the biggest problems in a relationship. You may come to a relationship as a spender and you've married a saver, or vice versa, or you never talk about finances. And finances is another taboo subject. So if you have any issue around that, it's expensive to raise a family today. There are stressors with jobs, you know, insecurity around jobs. People are working 4 and 5 different jobs over the course of their lifetime, or they may be working a couple of jobs. Women are working inside and outside of the home today. So women have a lot of pressure on them as well. And they also have this pressure to perform. We live in a society that says you have to be perfect or you are not valued. And we put that all on Facebook. So we're on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram, and we are documenting our lives for the world, our perfectly imperfect lives. And that will impact your relationship. I had a man who made a comment on the TEDx talk, and he said, I'd love to have more sex if my wife would just get off of Facebook and Candy Crush. And so those are addictive. That's why those stocks do really well, because they know that. Facebook knows that it's addictive.
Is that because more and more people are turning on their screens rather than turning on one another?
They certainly are, because that provides them instant gratification, instant pleasure. And it's almost similar without the activity, without putting the energy in, without putting the creativity in. It's a whole lot easier to get that pleasure, or a very similar type of pleasure.
So are more and more people like climbing into bed and turning on a screen rather than turning to their partner?
They're bringing their screens and their computers and their smartphones to bed with them, and they're rushing up there before the partner gets in there. And, you know, people are tired today as well. That's the number one reason for low sexual desire in women. And it's any wonder we're taking on so much, putting on so much pressure on ourselves. And so sex takes energy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking about the person that you say wrote in on your TEDx talk and said, well, I'd have more sex if my wife would get off Facebook. Okay, really? And so and this seems to be typical. We say, oh yeah, it's the woman who doesn't want to have sex. Like her sexual appetite is declining. But is that fair to say that?
You know, both men and women's sexual desire may decline, or there are a lot of women, you know, surprisingly enough, so many women messaged me after I gave that TED talk and said, which I did mention, that men do not want to have sex with their wives as well. There are those men. It can be they have an issue, the man has an issue with his sexuality, it can be erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, anxiety, performance in the bedroom, so there are so medications, there are so many issues, and that happens as well.
So even though we still have our mother in our head or whatever it is telling us that sex is dirty, there's something about it that we want to have, and if we're not having it, we don't want to admit that either. Isn't that an awful place to be?
It certainly is. And that's why I'm so passionate about this subject, because I believe that it leads to better lives for people and better families. And, you know, we're raising children, and they see that. They learn the intimacy from you. Because in a sexless relationship or sexless marriage, there are great risks. There are great risks of chronic masturbation, pornography, and infidelity. Mm-hmm. And which begs the question, is it fair to impose fidelity on a person who is deprived of sex from their spouse? And when that person cheats, must we call it infidelity, or is it merely survival?
Well, you answer that question. I don't dare wade into that territory.
Well, I think you have to be fair to people. And I think I see so many couples in my practice. We call it desire discrepancy. One has a higher sexual desire than the other, significantly. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, nobody has a perfectly matched sexual desire. But when there's trouble, when one wants sex a whole lot more than the other. And what's disturbing is I will bring these couples into my clinical practice, and the woman or the man will say, I don't want to have sex. I'm too tired. I don't feel like it. I'm not interested. My body, whatever. Mm-hmm. They don't bother to fix anything. And then I say, what if your partner cheated on you? And the response is the same from the women, 100%. I would kill him, is what they say. So guys, your lives are at risk if you do cheat in a sexless marriage. That's why it's important to deal with those issues. So for the men aren't as, they're a little bit more understanding, partly because they're a little bit more biologically driven around sex. Mm-hmm. So they're a little bit more unassuming and non-judgmental and think, well, yes, that makes sense if I can't have. And yet a lot of couples will say, I give you permission to go outside of the marriage, and that's going to bring on on a lot of problems as
well. Well, it brings other issues.
It certainly does. And infidelity is very common, do not get me wrong, between men and women. Both men and women cheat. It's a very common issue. And it's
so easy.
Well, then
why do we keep hearing about the men cheating and the men getting caught, but not women?
Because women don't get caught.
Oh, come on. They do so. Really?
No. Well, you know, we've been socialized to be sneakier. And so we don't necessarily get caught. But in today's day and age, in technology, it is so easy to cheat. We're also spending much longer hours at the office. There was according to a research study from Insights West, we're spending longer time at the office. So who's at the office? Somebody that you work with that you may be attracted to. You're spending time together. You're close. So the risk, because more women are in the workplace, there are more risks, more opportunities for people to cheat outside of their relationship. But there's also, it's a lot easier to get caught because of technology as well. And most guys come into my office and they say they got caught cheating, and I ask them, how did you get caught? And they say, no password on the phone, nothing protected. And you know, that underscores the trust issue in the relationship. If you're checking your husband's or wife's
right.
phone, there's something wrong. There were problems before. And that's why addressing the problems in the marriage is crucial.
Okay, so how do we turn this around? Because if we just end the conversation here, we go, oh my gosh, there's no hope. But there is. What do we need to do to turn it around, to have more enriched, enjoyable, and intimate relationships?
Well, I think you have to take a mirror and take a look at yourself. And that's not how you look physically. But you have to take a look, as an analogy, at how you are contributing to the problem. So if you're moody, or if you're overweight, if you don't exercise, if you have a negative attitude, you know, or you've had feedback from your partner, take that feedback and say, you know, he or she might be right on that, and do something about it. Be your best self. So eat properly, exercise. I mean, the same old is nothing.
Isn't
so
that
this
how you
is,
grow old gracefully as well?
This is sort of the boring advice.
Yeah.
You know,
where's the excitement in
okay,
all this?
Okay, here we go. If you can't touch yourself, who can you touch? Self-exploration is key.
Really?
It certainly is. And a lot of women feel guilty about that. They don't understand that. You want to know what feels good for you so that you can communicate to your partner. Deal with any issues you have in your relationship beforehand. If you have financial issues, parents are not on the same page raising their children, you decide that you don't want to work any longer and yet your partner is nervous about finances, resolve your issues. There's not a perfect marriage or relationship or union on the planet. And this goes for same-sex couples who are married or not, or same-sex couples who are together, or heterosexual couples. So everyone has issues. That's the one thing.
So you're talking about being able to communicate, to actually be able to talk to one another and hear one another.
Shocking, isn't it?
A lot harder to do.
That's right. We have two ears and one mouth for a reason. We don't listen enough. And so you need to listen to your partner, not you necessarily, but one needs to listen to their partner and to hear what they're saying and to absorb it and to consider it and to think about it and to decide. And there's so much help out there today, even on the internet, or if you don't want to pay for it, but what you can do to lead a healthier life or what you can do to self-explore. Maybe you want to bring sex toys into the bedroom. Maybe your partner has a desire for you to dress up and you've never dressed up. You know, you might consider dressing up to something that you're comfortable with. You don't have to start out with the full-on, you know, outfits from, you know, Zorro or whatever.
Okay, so when you first go into a relationship, I mean, there's all sorts of hormones and whatnot working away. 20 years later, and you're saying, okay, I want to reignite that. It's like you're coming at it from a different place. You got the history of the past two decades, children, finances, jobs, all those kinds of things. It's almost as though, okay, the sex, is it a barometer of where you're at? And if so, then do you use it as a way of kind of opening up the conversation? And I guess there has to be a willingness to do that too.
This certainly does, and many people are shut down by their partners. You know, if you're a couple that has dealt with problems, like I love problems, I think they're fantastic, because if you deal with them and manage them and overcome them, you're successful. You feel good about yourself. Your self-esteem goes up. And you've done that with somebody else. You've done that together. That's bonding. Mm-hmm. So there's no shame in problems, but there's shame in not dealing with your problems. So that should theoretically bring people together. Look what we got over. Look what we went through an illness of our child and we're still together. Or we went through financial disarray and we are still together. So those are some successes. And women report more boredom in the bedroom than men do. Men are quite happy to have sex with the same person for the rest of their life. But they,
really?
They, yes, women do. And a lot of women get to a point and they think, you know, is this it? And they may have married the wrong person. They may have, because the biological clock has a role in this as well, so they may have married. I had a patient in my office who married an alcoholic because she knew he was an alcoholic, but she was 35 and she wanted to have children. Now she's 47 and she's miserably married and she's just about ready to leave him. And because he's never gotten the help for his drinking issues. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we marry the wrong people, but, you know, sometimes, you know, love flies out the window quickly as well. And we're not necessarily just attracted to one person for the rest of our lives, even though men are happy to have sex with one person.
Well, you introduced the idea of monogamy and, you know, do we have an answer as to whether or not we're actually built for that? Because a lot of people struggle with it.
That's correct. I don't think we have the answer to that. I think some people can be monogamous. They tie a moral compass to it, and they're able to do that. And I do believe that a lot of people are not able to be monogamous. And is that necessarily the worst thing? I had an 80-year-old patient come into my clinical practice. He'd been cheating on his Irish Catholic wife for his entire life. And he asked me if it was time that he told her of all the extramarital affairs that he'd been having over the years. And, you know, what is the point? And the same as somebody who's had one indiscretion, what is the point in disclosing that? So sex is such a shameful topic. It's as though it makes you feel weak or, you know, morally less than exemplary if you've gone outside of your marriage. So, you know, you have to look at it, look at all of the conditions that led to that infidelity.
You have a job in this field because it's complex and it can't be all covered in a 23-minute conversation. What's the one most important thing that you want somebody to take away from this conversation?
That sex is important and that it's important that we talk about it in an educated way and that we stop allowing people to control our sex lives. And I really think one of the biggest and most important things is stop slut-shaming women. Guys want to have sex with women and yet they will slut-shame them after they've had sex with them. You know, that's just a small piece, but women will do the same thing as well. And so we really have to understand what a health benefit sex is and sexuality is and that intimacy and that bonding, that sex is good for you on every level, male, female, transgendered, whomever.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you doing this.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.